Blog Talk Radio.
It's showtime.
Greetings and welcome to Tag Do About Your Dog and You, and sponsored by Capital Area Guide Dog Users, Inc. Tag Do is a show about what is a guide dog, where do you get a guide dog from, why do you get a guide dog, how do you get a guide dog, and when do you get a guide dog. And our special guest will share some of their answers about those questions that you might have about guide dogs. And I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and our PAB, and that is our producer, announcer, and board engineer, is the hostess with the mostest, Miss Renee. And greetings, and how are you doing today, Miss Renee?
Reverend Ray, I am great. I'm ready for the holiday season, whether people are celebrating Hanukkah or whether they are celebrating Christmas. I'm ready for the holidays. It just feels festive now.
Did the year just blow by? I mean, I cannot believe it's 2020. I can't believe we're getting ready to go to 2022. I'm the president of a couple of blind groups, and they were saying, Reverend Ray, when you going to get the calendars to us? I said, calendars? Yeah, the 2022 calendars. I'm like, man, is the year gone that quick? But anyway, it's speeding by. That's all I can say. But they say when you get older, time speeds up. Isn't that right? Because when you was a little kid, it was like, Lord, the day seemed like it would take forever. But as you get older, time speed on. So let's speed on with our show. Mr. Nick, give me the rundown for today.
I would be glad to. Well, of course, we began our segment with Stop Dogging Us Around, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of Using a Guide Dog. And our guest host, Wendy Sherritt, will introduce our guest about 10 after the hour. And in our second half, we will begin our segment with a look at Wendy's Way. So back over to you, Reverend Radio Ray Razor.
All righty. And I'm so glad that Wendy Sherritt agreed a couple of months. She was a little, and Mr. Name, when I called her to ask her to do it, she was a little leery. I don't know if she thought that we was going to have like a gong show or what. She said, well, let me think about this and talk to my husband. I'll get back with you. So I'm so glad that she realized that we're legit and has some credibility, and she has become part of our team. I really appreciate it. And thus far, she has some interesting and very informative and inspirational guests. So we look to get that. So, you know, we like to start the show with Stop Dogging Me Around, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of Having a Guide Dog. But definitely always good, because those who have a guide dog, they first told me when I was thinking about getting a guide dog, I said, Reverend Ray, you know, use the cane, it's fine, and it gets you around things, and, you know, you're banging against stuff, and maybe some of them tree limbs will knock your brains out and stuff like that. But with a guide dog, it's like getting out of a Volkswagen and stepping into a Ferrari. And I was like, what? Yeah. And when I got my first dog, Miss Renee, in June of 1971, has been true since. And I have been had seven dogs over those years, and so it's just been good for me. But I'll share with you some experience. Now, I worked for a councilman here in Prince George County, Maryland, and we recently moved our offices to a new site, and some of the security guards was at the old building I was at. So we first just went back after 20 months. So I went back to my office last week, and this week. And so I'm going in, and so I hear one of the security guards tell her, speak, say, "Hi, oh, how you doing, Reverend Ray?" Yeah, okay. And so another security guard run over to help me, and I heard the security guard say, no, you don't need to help Reverend Ray, because that dog can read. That dog know where the elevator is. I stopped, I said, no, officer, what the name I do, I won't say his name. I said, no, the dog can't read. I said, in the other building, the dog was trained to go to the elevator and do all this stuff, right? So we are constantly, and I know Whitney can verify that, we are constantly educating the public about what these wonderful dogs can do. So I'll leave that for my stop dogging me around. So now, Ms. Renee, let's go to our guest host and have her introduce her guest.
Okay,
good
well, over
afternoon.
To
good afternoon, Miss Wendy.
How are and Wendy, you guys? I hear you're ready for Christmas.
Now, Miss Renee, this is ready. I don't know if my wallet and bank account is ready, so we have to, you know, sort of coordinate that.
Well, that's always the fun. You know, I have three grandchildren, and they keep sending me those texts saying, "Granny, I did one more thing I want for Christmas," and I'm like, "Okay." But
I understand.
It's a time of giving. It's a time of love, and we have to. Our guests are going to help us talk through. It's a special time for having a guide dog, and. You know, we need to think of them during the holiday season. And as much as we love decorations and traveling and all the festive eating, we need to be careful about our little ones, our helpers, and make sure that they're not becoming a little overwhelmed by these holidays. They don't quite understand that we're celebrating the birth of Christ. So we need to take some time, and our guests today are going to help us talk that through and help our listeners understand what it's like to have a guide dog in this time of the year. So we have two people from the Guide Dogs for the Blind in California. That's who's being represented today. And we have Rabia Dow. He is the Director of Outreach and Advocacy. And we have one of his workers in his department, also Jane Flower. And they are both going to help answer lots of those types of questions. And we're also going to talk about what we discussed in the beginning toward the end of the show is, why do you get a guide dog? What are the pros and cons, shall we say, of getting our guide dog? So, Rabia, are you on with us?
I am.
Welcome.
With you. Yes, Wendy. Thank you.
Welcome.
How are you?
Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, let's start out with a question about some traveling with your guide dog. I know people that don't have guide dogs hear little things in the media from time to time about the airlines, and they don't understand. So, you know, what it's like to be traveling with your guide dog. So could you tell us, we were talking about this wonderful video that you and the Seeing Eye that have created in concert with each other. So could you tell us about that?
Sure. Well, as we know, it's becoming more and more confusing for the public to identify a guide dog or a service dog from other dogs that are being passed or trying to pass as a service dog. And frankly, it's a runaway train. It's becoming increasingly difficult for, certainly those of us who are guide dog handlers, as well as the general public, business owners, and certainly airlines, for example. So we've all been involved in this ongoing public education. And there aren't that many of us who are guide dog handlers. And if you add all the guide dog trainers and schools to that number, we still are a very small, tiny group in the country. So that means we have to do more than our share, if you will, of public education on ongoing basis. And this is not a project. We do it and that's it. It's done and it's over. Far from it. It's a way of life.
What I'm hearing you say is part of when you get a guide dog, you take on the role of education, which Reverend Ray said those words in the beginning. So
yes.
Part of taking on the role of being partnered with a guide dog is being prepared to educate those you come in contact with what your guide dog is doing for you and how your guide dog functions in their role.
Exactly. And you know, on part of that is all these, ideas. I don't even know how to even describe them. Like what Reverend Ray said, you know, the dog cannot read. No, you know, the dog cannot. You know, you can't tell the dog go that way and the dog would know we to take a left at that corner or whatever, as some of us have experienced, people giving directions to the dog instead of to the handler. So, yeah, that's an ongoing issue. So part of that, Wendy, to go back to your original question about the video, is keeping this public education effort fresh and up to date. So we've actually, at Guide Dogs for the Blind here, released a couple of videos in the last year or so. The first one was in collaboration with CNI, which is a unique and new effort for guide dog schools to collaborate on something like this. And that is a video aimed at workers in the airline industry, specifically airline industry. So what we did is we went to an airline here in California, Alaska Airline. And CNI on the East Coast worked with United Airlines, and we kind of filmed our own clients going through the airports, from being dropped off at the front door of the airport, going through to the counter and getting assistance, some of them, and going through the elevator and security and all the way to being seated on the plane. We were able to do that here on the West Coast. So basically, that was an effort to address the issue of COVID-19 specifically. You know, many people struggled with, that social distancing issue, right? I mean, we have to keep the 6 feet distance between us and the next person. Which means for those people who may need sighted guide, that became quite complicated, quite difficult. Now, for us as doctors, it's easier because the dog can follow. But sometimes that doesn't work. And it just added another complication to getting public assistance when needed and when appropriate. So this video basically...
Yeah, I think...
instructed the employees on what to do when you encounter a guide dog team. You know, how do you interact with them? And the video is available for free to be viewed by anybody on our website at guidedogs.com or at the CNI website. And we have distributed that to different airlines, and TSA was involved in this process as well. On both coasts, so they've used it for their own education too. And we encourage anybody who's listening now to tap into our websites and feel free to put a link of that video and spread it around. Let's educate the public.
That is fantastic to hear that.
When you hear that music, that means we got to go to break, and Reverend Ray got to pay, go in his pocket and pay some employees like Miss Renee and stuff like that. Especially with this Christmas coming up, I know they are looking for Christmas bonuses. So we're gonna have to go. But as we get to come back on the other side, I don't know if it was you or one of your colleagues, but I am the president of Capital Area Guide Dog Users here in D.C., Washington, D.C. area. And also, we are part of GDUI, which during the ACB convention, I don't know if you or one of your colleagues, but you all played the video, and it was very, very impressive of what you.
Yes,
that was you.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was very impressive, and we have since shown it to different people, and going to put it. Our link and put the link on our website. But we'll be back on the other side to further talk about educating the public. Ms. Renee.
You are listening to CAGDU, about your dog and you. CAGDU stands for Capital Area Dog Guide Users. We're located in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. But the information we share is for guide dog users everywhere. Back to our host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and our guest co-host, Wendy Sherrod.
And take it away, Ms. Wendy.
Well, I'd like to follow up. I mean, in a situation, I would love to just throw out there, and I don't know how many of our listeners are still challenged with Uber and Lyft. Mm. I must admit, I live in the rural part of Philadelphia. So if I go into Philadelphia, which is a much bigger, you know, metropolitan area, the drivers are great. But as soon as you get out into the suburbs, actually where my house is, I mean, they just, so, you know, having other videos, I love the fact that you're training employees and having something. I mean, I'm going to contact those companies and say, here is a video. Have your employees look at it. It takes a short amount of time to educate how to serve, which they are, they're a service company. How to serve somebody that's visually impaired. I don't think it's that the employees don't want to. I think they just simply don't know the protocols and your video, which I have looked at on your website, it is part of that. It just educates the employee and shows them how to do it.
So Wendy, let me just jump in to add one little correction here. So the video I just spoke about that we did in collaboration with the CNI is aimed at the airline industry. There is another video that we produced recently, actually. I think it was released in September, October, that is animated. And it's a very short, two-minute video. That is general public transportation. It does address the Ubers, the taxis, the trains, the buses, all of those things, right? And it also says that this is the law, right? So access is protected by law. It's telling them that too. So we also encourage you and, you know, basically invite you to tap into that video as well. We have a video channel on YouTube. All of our videos are there, and feel free to
When you
link
say
up
it's on YouTube, what would we – would it
guide
be under
dogs
Guide
the,
Dogs
guide
for the
guide
Blind?
Guide Dogs for the – exactly, Guide Dogs for the Blind, yeah. Yeah.
Very good. I think our audience needs to tap into that. So go to YouTube and type in Guide Dogs for the Blind. And, you know, it's probably something you could download to your phone and share it. you know, share it around.
Also, when I think if you have an ex boss affinity, you just say, God, dog, put a bond. You too.
Yeah.
And it just jump right
and
up
there
on
are,
you.
And there are many.
I don't have that,
well.
Reverend Ray.
Okay.
Oh, come on, Wendy. You need to put a program here.
She needs to get with her. Yeah, come on. Yeah, Wendy. I mean, you're an author and you're a radio star now and a media star. Yeah, so you got to, you know, kick it up. You got to kick your program up, Wendy. Now you got to kick it up. Let me ask a question though. Since we didn't have the backlash, the regulations that once was somewhat, I don't think it was stringent, but I think it controlled the training of guide dogs. Since that has been loosed and the backlash we've been getting the last several years, do you find it more difficult or that we have taken a step back in the last 50 years in terms of the public given access and how they respond to service animals?
Well, I can tell you this, Reverend. There's an organization, a sister organization for us here in California that's also national called Canine Companions that provides trained service dogs to folks with other disabilities, not blindness. They did a survey of their clients last year, and they found out that about 93% of the people who responded said they've encountered dogs that basically interfered with their service dogs functioning in a public area basically in an area where dogs are not allowed. So 93% of people who are using service dogs and go into a store, now they are encountering other dogs or other animals that are interfering with their guide dogs. They're saying that about 67% of them reported that their guide dog was barked at or snarled at or attacked while at work. That's two-thirds of service dog users have been attacked, basically, or their dog have been attacked. The 63% of them said that the quality of life they have been impacted by those attacks. And not just by the attacks, but they also say that like 67% of people say that the legitimacy of the service animal was questioned by the general public.
Mm.
So people are confused about what is a service dog and what isn't. And that is impacting on the quality of life of those of us who use service dogs. So to answer your question, has it gotten worse? Yes. Yes, because there are more people out there who knowingly or unknowingly claiming to have a service dog, and they are confusing the public for sure, and they're making it more difficult for those of us who rely on these trained service dogs to go about our business.
Wow.
Do you think that, and I hate to talk about, you know, our government getting involved in this area, but do you think that the ADA might need some additional regulations or is that a way for us to weed out and be able to, I'm sorry if I offend anybody, but I call them fake service dogs. They're people that are trying to use a pet for their own needs, you know what I mean, and in using the word service dog. And the internet
right.
is full of
right.
booklets, certificates, and paraphernalia that these people can order and just use, you know.
So let me answer your question this way. Do we need a new law? I mean, you know, there's a lot more we can do to enforce existing laws.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
it doesn't have to be on a federal level. It can be on a not even state level. It could be on a city level, for that matter. Yes, we have, for example, identified different angles to manage this. So one of the things we did in California, for example, is you know, guide dogs was instrumental in passing a law this September, a few months ago, that will go into effect in a couple of weeks on the 1st of January. And that law is basically saying that you cannot sell a certificate for a service dog online to any California residents. It's illegal. It's going to become illegal as a January 1st. So because those people, it's a business to them, and they sell these things, and they don't care who's buying them. And sometimes people who are buying them are innocent, and they don't really mean harm. They don't know any better.
Right.
But this is a business for those people who are selling these things. So we have basically identified this big, you know, hole in the law here that we trying to plug, starting with California. We're hoping to go to other states. We're currently in contact with other states around the country to pass a similar kind of legislation or regulation to enforce the law. And we can do a lot more of that. And we can talk later about advocacy on a personal level and why that is important and how to go about it to help enforce these laws.
I know in the state of Pennsylvania, where I'm from, we had a horrific incident about 8 years ago where a seeing eye dog from the seeing eye was attacked by another dog on the street and unfortunately lost its life. And through that law, we now have made it a misdemeanor or felony in the state of Pennsylvania to have anybody's pet, you know, attack or disrupt. And they go into a lot of wording of, you know, even
right.
people that, you know, interfering with our partnership or interfering with
right.
my dog while she's working. And
right.
all I have to do is mention the word it's a felony or it's a misdemeanor to do that, and people, you know, and I hate sometimes to go that strongly, but, you know, I don't know if it's ever been applied to a situation, not, you know, not that I've heard of, but that was a very aggressive law. I like yours where, you know, we go at it in a little lighter mash, you know.
Well, we can discuss that as well.
Right.
I know you want to
we'll
talk about some travel experience, and but just suffice it to say that getting the law on the book is just the first step. As hard as
right.
that is to accomplish, that is but the first step, because we need to work on enforcing the law, which is
right
a whole other, you know. But we can talk about that later as well.
Let me say this real quick, and I'm glad you brought that up. I never thought about it from that angle. Now, we just recently, because I'm in the government now and stuff, so I have a number of influences. So we got the delegate CNI called me when they found out that I was the president of the guide dog a group here, and said, you know, Reverend Ray, Maryland or D.C. or Virginia do not have a guide dog law. And so I got to work on it, and fortunate enough, through my contact and influence, we got a law passed, a protection service animal law passed, in May,
great,
signed by the governor. But,
great,
but the thing is, I wish I had known, you know, we never even thought about the fact of these people that sell these things to people to make it seem like it's legitimate. So I do want to talk to you about that before we can amend or add that. But I never even thought about if we can do something about that, then a lot of these people can't get these certificates and all this different harnesses and all this stuff to make them look legit. I never even thought about that aspect of it. I'll be talking to you about that before we could add that to us. So, well, here again, you hear that music. Reverend Ray got to go in his pocket and make some money to pay these employees. I don't want them to get together behind my back like those employees did with Amazon and start a union. So, so I don't know if Mr. Ray listened to that. So I don't,
Ray would never do that.
So I don't want them to start a union on me there. So we will be back with our very special guest and our co-guest host, Ms. Wendy, and she will come back with Wendy's Way. Mr. Ray, take it away.
Well, we want to thank our sponsor, Big Bad Wolf, a Primo pet store located in the Tacoma Park neighborhood of Washington, D.C. They carry raw, organic, and premium foods. If your dog needs it, they have it. They have store-to-door deliveries in the DMV. That's the District, Maryland, and Virginia. Give them a call at 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. And back over to a look at Wendy's Way and Christmas books.
Well, today I'm going to shamelessly talk to you about my children's books that I have created. They are in concert with my grandchildren. And one of our books is called Feathers, Santa Train Surprise. And if you think of teachers and gifts to people that are not necessarily your children or grandchildren, but other people that would like to work with with children and would like a new topic to bring up or something that's really, really fun and something that is also fun with an educational backing to it, please look at the Grammys Superhero Book Collection, and especially our book on Christmas, because this book, Feathers, Santa Train Surprise, is a steam train ride with puppies that are in training. And Miss Feather sits there and watches these puppies and why they're on a train ride and tries to show them what they're growing up to be like. It's delightful. It's Santa's in the book and visits, and everybody is having a tail wagging good time. So please look into the books. There are 9 books in the series. It takes you through many, many different experiences with my grandchildren and myself and the public. Each book takes on a different part of what my service dog does for me. It answers the questions, do service dogs see traffic lights and read traffic lights? But again, it's the children at the end of the book, at the question area, the page that has questions, will actually come out of that book after they've had a fun time and actually learn and be able to talk about what a guide dog has done. So please visit us on Grammys with an S, Grammys. Superhero.com. I sell the paperback and braille versions of the book online, or all the books in paperback and Kindle can be found on Amazon. So check it out. I hear that adults are buying the books for themselves, that they're so great and fun. So give us a try and put us on your Christmas list. back over to you, Reverend Ray.
All righty. And before we just get into the next guest that you're going to bring up, I want to ask her, on your training of dogs, do you all use the bags on the dogs as well? Have you all started that method?
Do we use the bags? What do you mean by that?
The training where the dogs, they teach the dogs how to relieve themselves in a plastic bag.
No.
Oh, okay. CNI does that now. And, they do that. And it's just it's just amazing. I take my dog out to the dumpster all the time, on regular, so people get to see my dog. I take it by the dumpster. And so sometimes I'll be at the dumpster, and I know people standing there, right? And so when the dog relieves itself in the bag, I hear people say, "I told you that dog can," and they would clap and cheer. And then "I told you that dog would leave itself in the bag." And then, it's almost like I can't even go outside to relieve the dog, that people standing out there just so they can believe this dog. And Wendy's dog also is use a bag too,
great.
Don't you, dog?
That's
yeah.
Great.
And it's like, you know, it's like I told you. But anyway, go ahead, Wendy, with you. I think you have another guest you want to bring up or continue with.
Well, I'd like to bring in Jane Flower. She is also in the outreach program at Guide Dogs for the Blind. But Jane's going to talk about their online store. I hear they have great items on their online store. So, Jane,
Wonderful. Could
you give us a little rundown?
Sure. Hi, you guys. I could sit and listen to you guys
Hello.
All day. You're
Welcome.
Cracking me up. Thank you. Thank you for having us. We have a wonderful online store at Guide Dogs for the Blind. I always describe it sort of like walking into a college university bookstore, right? You have everything in there with the logo of the university bookstore. But we have some wonderful gift ideas for, if you are gifting a friend who has a guide dog. We have a lot of guide dog, some toys and things for guide dogs, but we also have some wonderful gift ideas for family and friends. We've got everything from really cool travel mugs, water bottles, coffee cups. Around the holidays, we have really, really cute holiday gift cards to send out that, of course, have adorable pictures of puppies on them. They're in Braille on the inside, embossed with Braille.
Really?
Yeah.
Braille.
Yeah.
Okay.
My friends love when I give them Braille cards. They just.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's
wonderful.
Just,
Now, are these geared, geared towards guide dogs, these cards? Because we've been looking for cards geared towards guide dog users. So they,
yeah,
are they
I
geared
mean,
towards the, guide,
they,
the Braille?
Yeah, the Braille, it's a simple message. It might say happy holidays or, season greetings to you. Some picture on the front are either usually, I think, some guide dog puppies, guide dogs in harnesses with the holiday kind of motif.
That's been a void in our card. We send out cards to all the different organizations we have. We send a card to each member on their birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And the guide dog people have been getting the short end of the guide dog group been getting the short end of the stick because we haven't been able to find, pictures with the dogs and the Braille. So this is wonderful. If nothing else come out of this other than the film and us talking, this has been a boom for us.
excellent. And we have greeting cards year-round. I mean, we have, cards in our gift shop all year round, not just at the holidays. And then I also was thinking about the whole travel conversation. We have really cute luggage tags as well in our gift shop. And just some, really fun backpacks are great for travel. I just saw one the other day. It's a pretty standard size backpack, but it's got some cool features for if you do have a guide dog, like in the back part that faces out. It's got little skinny straps, so if you need to carry a little fleece rug or a little pad for them to lay on.
Wait a minute, you're talking about backpacks for the dog or for the people?
Oh, no, for yourself, for a person. You know, very.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. The way things get now. Yeah, yeah. Well, y'all don't have any for the dog, right? Like backpacks, a little saddle. Y'all don't have like backpacks, a little saddle bags, or nothing like that. Like they got for horses for the dogs and that, right?
No, we don't. We do actually. They were looking at. I don't know if it's in the gift shop yet. They were looking at a little bag to attach to the harness to hold things like your dog's booties or the gentle leader if you use one.
I have one of them only because I went to the Seeing Eyes 95th anniversary. And they had them with the Seeing Eye. A company had made them, and they bought it as a, you got one because you came. And they never sold it in their shop. And I love it. I put my gentle leader and a roll of bags in there, and it's right on the front of her harness. And I have to say, and I know they don't want to make them because, you know, it was a specialized item, but.
We also have we use positive reinforcement training, and so food reward, and we sell some great bait bags that people can buy. We also issue one in class too.
Hello.
But there's also extra ones in the shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some
really cute.
Thank you for telling us about
that's very helpful.
And giving us some ideas. Can you give the listeners your website?
Yeah, our website is guidedogs.com, and the gift shop, I think it might have its own.
It's store.guidedogs.com.
Okay, perfect.
It's what?
Thank you.
Store.guidedogs.com.
Store, you're going to store to buy.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Okay. That's creative. Okay.
pretty simple. Yeah. Straight to the point.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's really been helpful.
I just want to give Jane some credit here as well. Jane is a colleague who is in the outreach department, and she is in charge of our youth services. We have summer camps and other services during the school year that we run for teenagers and youth in transition, as well as some other programs for young folks.
Transition from what to what?
From being kids to being adults, you know, that age transition, you know, kids growing up.
But is this in relation to dogs, or is this something you all do as a community?
No. This is in relation to dogs. Specifically, our services are in relation to dogs only. Yeah.
Yeah, we run all of our programs.
What age do you give guide dogs to people? Do you give – see, Seeing Eye, where we're accustomed, they don't give a guide dog to anyone until they're 18 and out of school. So does guiding – or a guide dog for the blind to younger age?
We really don't have a – we don't have an age requirement on either end. We've actually – the youngest person we have given a dog to is 13. But as guide dog users, you have to have a certain level of maturity to be able to handle the amount of social interaction, handle the general public, just the responsibility, the full-time responsibility of taking care of a guide dog. So all of our youth programs are really geared toward informing and preparing the youth for the guide dog lifestyle and really emphasizing the importance of their orientation and mobility skills, how important those are. When you want to transition into using a guide dog as your primary mobility tool. So, the programs are wonderful, and we're really working hard, too, to get the parents involved and really having them understand what's involved, because we do have a lot of parents really pushing their kids to get a guide dog, and you know, maybe the kid doesn't want a guide dog. So we also really talk about how important personal choice is and empowering them to make their own decisions about what mobility aid is going to work best for them. Because, you know, a guide dog isn't for everybody. It comes along with a lot of additional things. So, so all of our programs are really gearing towards informing and preparing.
Well, let me ask you this.
Really interesting.
Yeah, but I want to ask you this when we come back on the other side, where I'm collecting some more money for Christmas presents and stuff and bonuses on the other side. But Jane, when I come back on the other side, I want you to tell me, is it a program, and how did the kids get in the program, accept it, mm-hmm. and give me a date, you know, a training day with a kid in that program. What's expected? What y'all do? You know, give me a little bit about that. So you listen to Guide Dog and Miss Renee, take it away.
You're trying to take my job away, and the union is listening. I listen to CAGDU about your dog and you. CAGDU is Capital Area Dog Guide Users, and we are located in the nation's capital. Back over to Reverend Radio Ray Razor, the job usurper, and Wendy Sherrod, our guest host.
And we want to say by one of our major sponsors, and before I do the major sponsors commercial, infomercial, reason we got this sponsor, because as user, being a guide dog user, there's a lot of wear and tear on your back, especially if you're bending over picking up poop or whatever. There's a lot of wear and tear on your shoulder, from that left shoulder. Most people, 90-some percent of people that use guide dogs, is pulling on it, and then all the walking on your ankles and stuff. So we got a major sponsor called Real Time Pain Relief. And Real Time Pain Relief is the best smelling, most effective real-time pain relief lotion in the world. You just rub it on, and the pain is gone. All righty. So, Jay, tell us a little bit about the program, how one get in the program. Is it a certain amount of weeks and a sort of a day in that person's life for what they do?
Okay, and I just want to make clear you're wanting to know about not the guide dog training program, but just the other youth programs that we offer, correct?
Yeah, the youth program. Yeah, old people, they can take it their own self. Yeah, the youth program.
Sure, yeah. So we have, we are holding two in-person right now, fingers crossed, summer camp guide dog programs for youth. One week is for 14 to 17-year-olds, and the other week is for 18 to 24. And there will be an application online. So there's basically an application. We are limited to the number of kids that we can have, because it's a very hands-on experiential summer camp program. They get a lot of time with a dog and walking a dog with a guide dog. They get an overnight experience with a dog, so they really understand what is involved in all the care and that type of stuff as well that goes along with it. It's free of charge to anybody that applies and would like to attend. We serve people all over the U.S. and Canada as well, so all are invited to apply for the summer camp program. But another really exciting program coming up in March, the month-long series of workshops and a youth academy called Ready, Set, Forward. And we have three workshops and then a youth academy. So we have a workshop geared towards parents. The Canine Connection is your child ready. The Canine Connection is your student ready for blindness professionals. And then we have a panel called Wags and Wisdom, and that's bringing together some alumni of ours that got a dog at a very young age to kind of share their wisdom and life experience, what it was like to have a dog maybe in high school or, you know, early in college. Then the Youth Academy is a week-long worth of programming. And, again, we have two age groups that we divide that in, and we just deep dive into all things dogs, because one of the things we find, and I was one of them when I got my first guide dog, I didn't know a darn thing about dogs at all. Like, so when you come into class, you're not only trying to learn how to work a guide dog and wrap all of that around in your head, but you're also just learning about dogs in general and their behavior and why are they doing this and why do they do that. And so we really try to do the deep dive into that and talk about, you know, communicating with dogs and how dogs think and how we communicate with them. And then really just going into, you know, more details about what's it like to live and work with a dog, the importance of O&M. And then we always have the kids do a research, guide dog school research, because you know, we have choices here, right? And not every school is going to be or our school is not necessarily the right choice for everybody, you know. So if we give them a really good list of questions they should be asking when they're researching the guide dog school and make the best choice for themselves when they're ready to apply for a guide dog.
Let me ask you this question, and I know we don't have a lot of time left, but so you are a guide dog user?
I am, 3 times. I'm on my 3rd guide dog.
Oh, wow. Well, now, see, that makes a big difference when somebody that's talking about something using the product. That, you know, that's the okay, so you found it. Oh, see, that's a whole nother show. Find out how you got a guide dog, why you got a guide dog, you know, who forced you to get one. You know what I'm saying? How people that mistreat you. Okay, but go. But we don't have time to go. We're going to have you back as a special guest. That's to tell your story. That's for sure. But go ahead, Wendy. I'll let you wrap it up.
Reverend Ray, can we give Ravia a few minutes here at the end? He wanted to just kind of wrap up about some advocacy information.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, we definitely into advocacy. Yes, go ahead.
Well, I really appreciate your energy. And, you know, as we can just see through this conversation, there's a lot to talk about. I mean, Wendy, you wanted to discuss about the kind of real life experience traveling these days with COVID-19 and the restrictions and how that affects us traveling with guide dogs. And Jane has had a couple recent experiences traveling with guide dogs, both successful. But, you know, that's a whole other show as well. If you'd like to do that, we'd be happy to help out. You know, just the whole process of going through the Department of Transportation form these days that's required or being used by many airlines, if not. And how accessible those forms are and how you process them and all that kind of stuff. So we have this ACA, this airline, the Air Carrier Access Act, which is this form from DOT that we have to fill out to travel. That's one requirement. And then if you're coming from certain countries, as of now, there's also yet another requirement that we need to be aware of that is from the CDC, from the Center for Disease Control. So that's for people entering the United States. If you go out on vacation, even for a few days, you have to be aware of these guidelines as well. So you mentioned ADA early on, which is another law, and then you have the housing law, which is yet another regulations.
Right.
It can get overwhelming and confusing, and as you mentioned earlier, you passed this big law in Maryland, and it's great that you passed that. And in Virginia with guide dog law, but passing the law is not the end of the road. It's really just the law is a tool for us to be able to access public space safely, but we need to enforce it. And many police departments and other law enforcement, you know, they tell you their hands are full. I mean, do we want to pursue something that is a misdemeanor or put more resources for something more serious? You know, there are crimes in all over the country in different ways. So then it becomes a matter of where their priorities are at. And the squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Yeah.
And there aren't that many of us who are guide dog users, as I said before. So, you know, our voice gets lost in the shuffle. Just to put it in perspective, less than 1% of the legally blind community in the United States are guide dog users. Less than 1%. Well, not even 1% of the legally blind, you know, let alone the rest of the country. You know, there aren't that many of us out there who are guide dog users. I think altogether in the country, we've had maybe 15,000 or so guide dog teams. That's nothing in $300 million country. Yeah, we get lost easily in the shuffle, right? Which means that we have to be noisier than anybody else in order to be heard.
Well, you can tell we're noisy.
Yeah, you're doing a great job. So we want to make sure that people...
Okay. Are you a guide dog user also? Are you a guide dog user?
I am in the
You never said that at the ACB conference. I did not know that. I didn't hear you say that you were a guide dog user.
I see. Okay.
We thought you was one of those people telling blind people what to do.
I'm on both sides of the table, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
But we need them as well. You know the instructors out there, the puppy raisers, the donors. You know, all of those people who are part of our community. We need to get them all involved in this, like we did for this law in California that we passed this past year, because we can make more noise together. We need everybody's collaboration.
I agree. Well, you all have been wonderful guests, and Wendy, you can thank your guests and ask them to tell us how to get in touch with them and all of that sort of jazz. And thank you all very much for CAGDU about your dog and you, and certainly we'll be in touch to pursue several different things with y'all and have you all. This not your first. This might be your maiden voice, but this won't be your last appearance on our show, and we will build a relationship with you all. So, Ms. Wendy, thank you, and you can say goodbye to your guests and let them give their contact information.
Well, Rabia Dow is the director from outreach and advocacy from the Guide Dogs for the Blind. My mouth.
That's
is
okay.
Just, my brain is going faster than my mouth. And Jane Flower, what you have provided us today is just wonderful. You know, every time I do one of these shows, my guests just teach me more and more and more, and I just get more and more excited. So we will have you back, and thank you. Have a great holiday season, and we'll be in touch.
And
Thanks for having us. Just to follow up on that last
question from the Reverend, in order to get in touch with us, just go to our website, guidedogs.com. That's guidedogs.com, and we'd be happy to answer any of your questions. Thank you for having us, and happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody.
And this is being recorded, and it will appear on our website, and we will send you all a link for a testimony on your website if you would like it. Okay?
Definitely. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Okay. So same to you all. We'll be getting some of them holiday cards with dogs on them. Okay. All right, Miss Wendy, thank you. Any parting words before I close out, Miss Wendy?
No, I'm just going to get back to baking my cookies.
All right, okay.
I am known for my trays of cookies. I give them to homeless shelters. Well,
you're going to have to send us a dozen down here. You're going to have to pack up and send us a dozen. Okay, thank you, Wendy, thank you. And Wendy, give your website again.
GrammysSuperhero.com.
All right, thank you. Well, our time is up, and we thank you for your time. And this is Reverend Ray, and I like to say, as I always do, hug your honey, but pet your pooch. God bless and be blessed.
You have been listening to CAGDU about your dog and you, Capital Area Dog Guide Users, located in the nation's capital. We are heard here every Friday at 3:00 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have a question or a show idea? You can contact us in all the usual ways. Our email is cagdu2020@gmail.com. That's C as in Charles, A, G is in George, D as in David, U2020@gmail.com. Want to listen to this show again or a past show? Go to our website, CAGDU.org, and click on the radio show button. Or call us at 301-263-7371. That's 301-263-7371. Thanks for listening, and tune in for more information about guide dogs and you.